Good morning. Today is a great day. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but right now, as we sit here, one of our church plants, Hill Country Bible Church Pflugerville, that was planted in 2000, it's 5 years old, is celebrating their first Sunday in their brand new facility. Beautiful facility, seats 700 people in worship, about 40,000 square feet. They've actually even got some place to expand there. The church right now is ministering to about 750 people. With the added space, it will probably double in the next 2 years. Their plan at this point in time is to plant their first church either in the East Round Rock area or maybe in East Austin, one of those two directions in 2007. And so the folks that went out from here 5 years ago are ministering their community. God's using them in incredible ways. And we're so excited for how God is using the churches of our association to reach the city. In addition to that, this morning we have our high school and junior high students who are participating in the Great Adventure. They're away at boot camp. They're getting trained right now to come back and lead the backyard Bible clubs. And so this is a significant time. Many of them, their first time to ever take spiritual leadership. Others are veterans at this who are right now, they are growing spiritually as they're being led and trained to take leadership for Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you here have a child that's on this trip? Can you raise your hand? We want to pray for that child right now, okay? So for those of you who are sitting around a person that raised their hand, raise them up one more time. If you're sitting close to someone who raised their hand, if you just put your hand on their shoulder, and I'm going to pray for them and their kids, just reach out, put your hand there. You don't have to get up and move too far, but we just want to pray that God would do an incredible work this week in the lives of our students, so that they would never be the same. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you because we know that you are a God who reaches deep in the heart, creates magnificent transformation to change us to become like the image of your Son. And Father, as these parents sit here of these kids, and we reach out to them in prayer today, I know that many of them are probably wondering, could you really cause transformation to take place in the heart of my son or daughter? Father, we pray that that would happen even now. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit in such power on these young people that over the course of this week of training, that you would stretch and expand their faith, that they would never be the same, that these families would be impacted so significantly that they would never be the same. Father, would you do that through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word and the fellowship of this community for your glory? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Another thing that I'm pretty confident of that's going on right now is that we are going to have a Hill Country Bible Church UT in September. And that's an awesome thing. You didn't believe me, did you, Ron Rogers? When we sat down over lunch and started talking about this years ago, dreaming about what God would do on the campus, we just kind of sat there and said, well, you know, God's a big God. If we can plant a church at UT, I mean, that may be the greatest miracle of all. Then he told me this morning we've got about 190 people that are going to participate in the launch team of this new church. We're launching on September 11th, and some of you are feeling really guilty because Denny had your arm behind your back the last 2 weeks. He was twisting that baby, working you really hard, and you really have prayed, and you believe at this time God's not telling you to go, which Denny doesn't understand that. But you still have an opportunity to participate both through prayer and also through a financial investment. We've included an offering envelope in your bulletin today. I'd like you to pull it out. Over the next couple days, today and through the course of the week, we're going to be taking up a special one-time offering to help this new church plant. Typically, we don't do this. Most of our churches are self-funded, but since this is a church that's going to be focused primarily on reaching students, and for those of you who are parents of students, you recognize that students don't have a whole lot of money to fund the church. We're going to help them get started. So if God would lay on your heart to make a financial contribution to Hill Country Bible Church UT, you can just write a check, put cash, whatever you want to do, put it in the envelope, designate it for HCBC UT, and at the end of the service, we'll be collecting these, and then also throughout the week, if you want to go home and pray about it, you can mail it back to us or bring it back next Sunday. And we want to see God use this body to provide financial resources for the startup of our UT church. The reason why we're doing all this is because God desires that His glory and that the supremacy of His Son, Jesus Christ, be known around the world. And that from generation to generation, the great works of God and the incredible transformation and forgiveness and freedom that is found in His Son, Jesus Christ, that that would be known. And the reason why God wants His glory known, the reason why God wants people to know His Son, Jesus Christ, is because in Jesus Christ, we find our good. Our joy, our hope, our blessing, our shalom, that comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God wants Jesus Christ to be supreme, to be seen by all people. And we've been in a sermon series on generation to generation, and we found that there's a way that God communicates from generation to generation. He has His how, and that's found in Psalm 145:4. It says this, that one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. In other words, God has chosen to transfer the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, by one generation taking responsibility to pass it on to the next generation so that all can hear. And the next generation can know of what God did in the prior generation. And in believing that, see God work in them. And then they pass it on to the next generation. And you're a product of that. People that went before you that got the gospel message to you. And it's our responsibility to pass it on until all will hear. The difficulty is this. The difficulty is that oftentimes generations clash. The older generation doesn't understand and enjoy the younger generation. The younger generation views the older generation as outdated. There's generational tension. And that's seen not only in the culture, but oftentimes it's actually seen in the Church of Jesus Christ, where we have generation wars. The older group doesn't like the younger group. The younger group feels disenfranchised by the older group. And there's tension there. This is so opposite of what God intended. And this morning, I want us to challenge us to take a hard look at our roles and responsibilities to communicate from younger to older and from older to younger. In 2004, the movie In Good Company came out. Fascinating movie of the tension between the generations, where we see Dan Foreman, the senior executive of the advertising division of a magazine, an older seasoned guy who makes his living by handshakes and relationships, being replaced in a corporate takeover by a young man with no experience. You probably have seen this happen in your place of business. Watch the interaction between these two.
May I help you?
I'm sorry, this is your office.
Yeah. You're the guy I bumped into.
Dan Foreman. Carter Duryea.
You're Carter Duryea?
Yes, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
The Carter Duryea that's come in to run ad sales?
That's correct.
How old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
26? And you're my new boss?
I guess so. That's quite a kung fu grip you got there, Dan.
Well, what kind of experience do you have in ad sales?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dan, not much.
How much?
None.
That's not much.
But I'm a fast learner, Dan. Hey, now that you know how old I am, how old are you?
I'm 51.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a year older than my dad, so that's weird.
Oh, well, this is great. You two have met.
Oh, are you kidding me? We are old buddies by now. Dan, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure.
Unfortunately, those kind of attitudes and those kind of suspicions exist right here in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning I want to give a couple principles to our seasoned saints, and then we're going to come back and give a couple principles to our strapping youth to bring us together to partner for the gospel. To our seasoned saints, let me just bring a few principles forward for us this morning to keep in our focus as we pass on to the next generation what God has taught us. The first principle that we need to learn and we need to embrace is that we should not look for the good old days. As senior saints, seasoned saints, those who have been around for a while, sitting around and thinking about the good old days, the glory days, the days that we're comfortable with, is not a good idea. Look at what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:10. I put it up here for you. He says, "Do not say, why were the old days better than these?" And then notice the reason. "For it is not wise to ask such questions." Okay, seasoned saints, those of you who are wise, to sit around and say, "Why were the good old days better than these?" That's not using your wisdom. There is a nostalgia that goes with youth. When you're young and optimistic and you feel like you can conquer and the formation of your life is being formed, those days are remembered as the times of life when things were really good. And so when we get older and we can't understand how the world is changing and we become disoriented by the speed of change, the tendency is to think, well, when I was younger, people didn't talk like that. Or when I was younger, people didn't drive like that. Well, for some, when I was younger, people didn't drive. They rode their horse. Don't anybody that age. When I was younger, we said, "Yes, ma'am," and "Yes, sir." When I was younger, people respected authority. And the list goes on and on and on. What good is that? What good is it for people to sit around and reminisce about the glory days of old? You know, while you were living out those glory days, seasoned saints, your parents and grandparents were griping about how bad things were then, and they were thinking back to their good old days. That's a tendency of older people. I remember that I was sitting in a conference several years ago, And Kirby Anderson was teaching, and he was talking about the baby boomer generation, which is now moving into that seasoned saint age. And he was going through all the problems with the baby boomers, you know, materialism, lack of commitment, pride, unwillingness to cooperate, independent spirit. He was going through all of the problems associated with the baby boomers. And everybody in the room started talking about, oh, it's so hard to do church with this generation, so hard to reach this generation's so difficult. And there was an older pastor in the room, I'll never forget what he said. He said this. He said, gentlemen, he said, this is the generation that God has given us to reach. And it's the only one that we will ever get. So if we don't make a commitment to reach them, then we have no business being here. This is the time. This is the present. For those of you who can remember the glory days, to spend your life thinking about how it was rather than focusing on how it is and what I can do to make a difference in this day, you're wasting your time. Today is the day that God has given you. And you can use it for His glory. Second principle to the seasoned saints is don't look down on the next generation. Don't look down on the next generation. Look at what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Implication? People were doing that to Timothy. They were looking down on him because of his age. He goes on to say, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. The tendency for older people is to look at the vigor and the inexperience and sometimes the hubris of those who are younger and think, well, they don't know anything. They don't have anything to contribute. Don't look down on the younger generation. The future of the kingdom is in their faces and in their hearts. The better attitude you have to those who are coming behind you, the more impact you will have. Nobody listens to someone who's looking down their nose at them. If you want to have an impact, get excited. This past week, we were at Cryer Creek, a family camp that's part of the Pine Cove families. I was speaking there, and our family was there. And the people that were doing the ministering there were all college-age students. About 40 staff members that were college-age students that took the little kids, that took the elementary-age kids, that took the high school kids, that took the adults. And outside of me speaking, everybody that was there that was doing ministry, they were all under 30, and most of them were in their mid-20s. And it was amazing how the energy of those students, motivated to serve God, broke through to the adults. That was the single greatest spiritually invigorating part of the whole camp, was watching these young people love our kids and love us in the name of Jesus Christ. My son Sam, 11 years old, had a counselor who at age 11 sat at Hill Country Bible Church, Kevin Welchel. And now Kevin was doing more in my son Sam's life during the last week than what most of the gray-haired people, including me, have done in the last 6 months. Ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't look down on young people. Don't look down on them. God's using them in significant ways. Third principle is do pass along what you have learned. Do pass along what you have learned. I love the passage that Denny brought to our attention in Psalm 71. When the old man was praying in Psalm 71, 18, he says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God. Why? Because I got something left to offer. Till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. He's not saying, oh God, stay with me, keep me healthy, so I can enjoy more months on the golf course, or so that I can see my grandbabies born into the world. What he's saying is, God, give me strength, give me help, preserve me, because I don't want to die until I have ensured that the next generation knows about you and knows about the things that you have done in my life. Now, two pieces of practical advice. As you go about, seasoned saints, as you go about trying to pass along the knowledge of God to the next generation, keep in mind that predominantly what you're trying to pass along is the knowledge of God, the glory of God. Not just your stories. Remember what it was like to be young? One of the characteristics of youth is impatience. How does that jive with your 45-minute version of something that was a real moving experience for you? It's really, really hard in an ADD world to take that all in. Your primary goal is not to tell them about the glory days in your life. Your primary goal is to tell them about the glory of God and what you saw Him do. Lead off with God, and they will listen. If you lead off with God, they will listen. Secondly, one of the best things you can do to help the next generation is listen to where they're at and then bring your wisdom to the table. So lead with God and then be willing to listen to where they're at and then bring your wisdom to the table. Do invest in the next generation. God is calling you. God is calling you. If you're 48 or 88, He's calling you to give. Invest in the next generation. That's your responsibility. And you know what? Young people I talk to every day are just starving for someone to come along and teach them what they know. Pass along the wisdom of the years. Number four, you can be a bridge builder. I've titled this message of Bridges and Boats because you can be a bridge builder. I love what one poet said. He summarized life like this. He says, an old man traveling a lone highway came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide that barred his way at evening tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. That turbid stream held no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Good friend, said a fellow traveler near, you're wasting your time in building here. You'll never again will pass this way. Your journey is over at the close of day. You've crossed your chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at evening tide? The traveler lifted his old gray head. Good friend, on the way I've come, he said, there follows on my path today a youth who too must pass this way. This stream which was but naught to me, to that fair-haired lad may a pitfall be. He too must cross at the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. On Wednesday mornings, bright and early, at Delta Body and Frame on Anderson Mill Road, Tony Clark opens his shop early, and in walks a group of guys who sit down at the table. And one of our seasoned saints, Don Dady, sits down with those men and he opens the word and he shares his wisdom. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Do you have a vision to do that? To pass along the glory of God to the next generation? We have a group of people that are going down to the University of Texas to sit at tables with students and open the Word and share about the glory of God. There are people all over this congregation and all over this city that need to know what you know, that need to experience what God has taught you. What is your bridge? You say, well, I still got a few kids in the house. I'm building a bridge to them. Great. Don't you want some help? Wouldn't it be great if somebody gray came along and helped you? And when they're grown and gone, are you going to be willing to step in and help someone else? Plan on it. That's what God's calling you to do. Now, a message to the strapping youth. A couple principles to you. Number one is listen to the voice of wisdom. Listen to the voice of wisdom. The voice of wisdom may be wearing gray hair. Listen to the voice of wisdom. Let me take you to a passage in 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. This is such a clear picture of the way it often is. Now, if you'll remember, in 1 Kings chapter 12, Solomon has been king. Solomon was such an awesome king in so many ways, because of his wisdom, because of his military ability, because of his great commerce and trade, that he built the kingdom to the height of its glory. But in doing that, he did a lot of other things as well. He conscripted a lot of people into the military, had a draft, they came in the military. He conscripted a lot of people who were required to be involved in his building projects. It was a hard time for the average person during the glory days of Solomon's kingdom. And so when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam was ready to take the throne, the people came to him and appealed to him to have a different approach to government than his father did. Notice what happens in the story, starting in verse 3. It says, so they sent for Jeroboam. He was the leader of the opposition party. And he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. So the people are making an appeal. Loosen up, lighten up, we can't take the burden. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. So good thinking. Send the people away. I really need to consider this. Sounds like he's going down the right direction. It says, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people, he asked. Seems like he's going in the right direction. Gets the elders together, the people that have been around that know that he asked the question. Look at their response. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. What were they saying? They were saying, Rehoboam, as a young man, you do not have the leadership capital. You do not have the trust to demand the kind of things that your father was able to get out of these people. You need to listen to them and be a servant leader, and you will unify the kingdom. Notice his response. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had, underline this, grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid a heavy yoke on you, a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. Sounds like a young man's response. So he called the people back together, and you know what he said? He said, if you think the old man was hard on you, you've been having a party compared to what I'm going to do. You know what happened? Civil war. The kingdom divided. 10 tribes left. And he was left with just 2. People said, we're not going to put up with this. He rejected the wisdom of the elders. Day after day after day, I see young people trying to reinvent the wheel. Partly because the elders are not available to them, and partly because there's a pride that comes with the energy and the vigor of youth. that this is a new day. The circumstances are different. We have a different understanding of the world. We have new ideas and new ideals. Do you think that the generation that's after you is not going to think the same thing? You know, every single generation is going to change the world. Every single generation. And every single generation ends up in some form of a minivan. By the time it's all over. I mean, you got to have something to haul the kids in. Life has a way of taking the radical edge off of people. And at the end of the day, most of the experiences of life are going to be common, generation to generation to generation. Certainly the most meaningful. Relating to a spouse, loving kids, living a godly, ethical lifestyle. God doesn't rewrite the Bible for every generation. And there are many lessons to be learned by listening to those who have lived before. Are you open to listen? Are you seeking the advice of people that have gone before you? Kids? Do you listen to your mom and dad? Do you listen to your mom and dad? Are you taking in what they're telling you? God has established the world in such a way that young people have lots of energy and little common sense. And old people have great wisdom and no energy. What a great marriage. I think God did that to keep us united and dependent on one another because God wants us to be together, not separate. God wants us to work as teams, not dividing by generations, because how is the message of the goodness of God going to transfer? It transfers from one generation to the next. And so God's established it that way. Listen to the voice of wisdom. Second, capitalize on the years of energy. Capitalize on the years of energy. To the young people, capitalize on the years of energy. Turn over a few books to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon looks back on the course of his life as an old man, a wise man. He looks back on the course of his life, and when he's summarizing everything he's learned, here's what he says. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Stop and factor in God as the most significant, your Creator, your Maker, the one you're going to stand before. Remember Him while you're young. And then he goes on to say, before the days of trouble come. And the years approach you when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And then he gives a long description of the geriatric life. Talks about how hard it is to really focus your attention on God when just getting out of bed in the morning becomes difficult because of the physical deterioration of your body. Now the message to all of us is, we're not getting any younger. So whether you're 18 or 80, today is the day to do your best for God. But particularly for you guys who are young, don't say, once I get my family established, once I get my career established, once I get my 401k established, once I get my hobbies established, once I get everything organized, then I'll be ready to serve God. Because there are many people in here who would tell you about 20 and 30 and 40 wasted years. I wish I could have those back. Take advantage of the strength of your youth to pour your energy into your spiritual growth. Pour your energy into your relationship with God. Invest deeply in your Christian walk. And invest deeply in uniting the relationships of your family, your children. Invest deeply in ministry. And establishing ministry, and God will use you in significant ways. The message of Ecclesiastes is don't waste time, because you can't get it back. Young people, time is premium to you, just like it is for those who are older. A message to the seasoned saints, you've got something to offer. Are you offering it? A message to the young people, you've got something to offer. Are you offering it? Our youth ought to be the fuel of our ministry. Our seasoned saints ought to be the wisdom, the experience of our ministry. And when we marry those two together, we see God's will being accomplished in our church and in our community. And everybody participates in the expansion of His kingdom and the expansion of His glory. Message to the church. God wants the wisdom of the years. God wants the wisdom of the years. And God wants the energy of youth to marry and serve together. Well, when that happens, there's a beauty that takes place. Back to our characters in our plot earlier. Through a series of events, Dan and Carter come together to try to save their company from a sale, and in the process learn an awful lot from each other. And as they come to the end of their time, they share with each other what they've learned when the tables are now turned and the young man finds himself on the outs. Watch the conclusion to our story.
Where you been?
Los Angeles.
We made a huge sale.
Congratulations. So did Teddy K. He sold the company to Calcor Communications.
Mark, what happened? I thought you said Teddy K was buying another company.
That's what they told me, but he sold us. I'm out.
Wait, you're out?
Yeah, they're reorganizing the whole company. You're out too. I think you're in.
I'm in what?
Your old job.
What, running the department?
That's the rumor. The whole thing seems so arbitrary. I feel used.
Yeah. Kind of tough to know you're replaceable, huh? I'm sorry you lost your jobs.
Please, give them all my best.
Yeah.
Dan. Thank you.
For what?
For... I guess for showing me a few things. No one ever really took the time to give me a hard time before. Or teach me anything that was actually worth learning. All right.
Listen, Carter. I want to tell you something. You're going to be okay.
You think so?
Yeah, I know it. You're a good man.
Anderson added a few stanzas to the poem about the bridge builder. Listen to what he says. He says, when the youth arrived at the chasm wide, he scorned the bridge which spanned the tide. That bridge is obsolete to me. I have the strength to leap the stream, you see. But from my vantage point, he said, I can see that an ocean lies ahead, which never presented its challenge to you. So how can you help me see it through? The old man listened, then nodded his head. You've taught me a lesson today, he said. Then traveler and youth worked side by side, ripped the planks from the bridge which spanned the tide. And from these timbers tried and true, they fashioned a vessel to sail the blue. Then driven by winds from the heavens above, they challenged the ocean together in love. We will declare God's works as we partner together, young and old, for His kingdom. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, it's awesome to know that You're moving in such powerful and incredible ways, and that all of us play a part, young and old, strong and wise. Father, give us a vision for how You want to use us individually as part of a team to build a boat that will traverse this ocean of humanity, sharing the gospel.